News Talk 1620 WTAW. I'm Patrick Ziner, and I'm speaking to Shirley Padgett of the Brazos Child Care Network. Shirley, can you tell me a little bit about what the network does?
Okay. I am the president, and we have a very small group. We've got probably right about 20 members, hoping we can get that to grow back. But a lot of people have gotten to where they take training on the Internet now and all that kind of fun stuff, so it kind of messes up membership for us because a lot of people just don't want to go to trainings. But what we do is the vice president and myself, we get together and we set up trainings the third Thursday of every month. And right now we're meeting at the Aldersgate Church on the Feeder Road over across from the Post Oak Mall. And we set up the trainings. It's a two-hour training session. And we find speakers to come in and teach us about different things concerning child care. And there's some that we have that are required, for instance. Child abuse and neglect is a required training that we have to do every year. Then we have a few other ones, like if you transport children, you have to take a special training on transportation and how to transport your children. Otherwise, I mean, it's on brain development and just different things that you can do with children to keep them occupied. And then there's also training to help us keep our business organized for ourselves, where we're not going, oh my God, I don't have a paperwork. But most of it is on child-type training.
Okay. How are the age ranges usually spread out with most daycare centers?
That's one other thing I did forget to say. We, as a group for BCCN, we are all home daycare providers. Now, people who work at centers, they can come to our trainings also, and you know, they pay a fee if they don't want to join as an actual member for the year. And most of the people I have as members right now, we have about three or four that actually keep infants, and then the rest go from 18 months on up to some keep school age during the summer and after school hours. So up to the legal limit, I think it is, for children to have daycare is like 12 years old or 14.
Okay, some of the information I got, and it may be wrong, was that you sometimes, as a network, will operate as a clearinghouse to not necessarily vet, but maybe give suggestions for business-based daycare instead of home-based daycare. Is that the case?
Well, not really.
Okay.
More for us, we're all daycare for home. And, I mean, a lot of our training is that we have to do is the same as a daycare center, realistically. They've really, you know, come down on everybody. You know, have your home taken care of just like a daycare center. The plus side for home daycare is usually you're going to have anywhere from just that one person who does the daycare in their home, like myself, for instance. I'll keep myself six to sometimes I'll have seven children. That's my limit for me anymore. I don't want to do more than that because I just think I would overdo it for myself. Then we have some that will keep up to 12 children. And the ages for that, they are allowed to keep so many infants. And if up to 12 children, you're only allowed usually to keep one infant and then five toddlers, which is from 18 months to 4.5 to 5 if they start school. And then the after school age is 5 to 14. They're allowed to keep, I believe it's 5 for that.
As a network of home-based daycare, are you aware of any sort of wait list, or is there an amount of time that parents would need to expect before they could get their child into a home-based daycare?
Some of the daycares sometimes will have a wait list. Like right now, we are really limited with providers that have openings. A lot of them will have openings coming up in August because they're losing children who are going to be going to kindergarten. And myself, I was hoping it'd be August, but I'm going to be losing. I just lost three of them. One moved, the other one, mother lost her job, and another one, the mother lost her job. So I now have three openings for myself now instead of waiting till August. But I can't take a child unless it's 18 months or older because of the ratios that the state requires us to go by.
Business-based daycares, do they affect how many people come and go in home-based daycares? So with the recent closing of one of the local daycare centers, would that affect you as home-based providers?
A lot of times it has, and then other times it hasn't. I mean, a lot of people will just go to another daycare center, but we have had it where some have closed over the years where they decide, well, maybe we'll try home daycare, and they decide they like it better.
Should expectant parents maybe contact y'all ahead of time, especially for infant-based daycare? Should they try to find out about availability ahead of time?
Oh, yes. especially if they're looking for a daycare for an infant, most definitely, because that there, you may have to wait 6 months.
Okay, so pretty much as soon as they know they're pregnant, they should be looking, if they're going to be wanting infant-based daycare.
Yes, realistically, yes. And that way, that gives them time to really visit with the daycares and come and visit with us, meet with us, and then once we kind of get to know them, they can, you feel more freer on letting them if they want, for, at least for myself. You can just let them drop in so they can see what's going on when they're not, you know, scheduled to be there. I mean, being in a home daycare compared to a business daycare center, yeah, we can't really allow ourselves to just let any stranger come knocking on our door and come on in.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not safe for us or our children.
So what is the process for someone, once they found that there is availability with a home-based daycare, what's the process for getting the child enrolled or up to speed? I guess, are there shots that are necessary?
Oh, yes. Every child that comes into our daycares have to have their immunization records. They have to have what they call a health statement from their doctor stating that the child is healthy enough to come to daycare. And then if they're on, like, any kind of medication or anything, they have to have their actual prescription has to be with us in our home, so they can't just put it in something else or anything like that. We have to have an actual bottle with a label. So basically they're required to, if they're going to bring medication, ask the pharmacist for another bottle with the label on it so they can have one at daycare and one at home if they want to do it that way, or they just have to remember to bring it every day. And then we have a form we have to fill out whenever you give the medicine. There are some home daycares that don't give medicine at all. Just because of different things that have happened over the years, it's just kind of a big liability.
And if anyone is interested in beginning a home-based daycare business, what sort of resources do you recommend, and how would they maybe contact the network?
Well, for them to begin daycare, they automatically would call the DFPS office because they have to take an 8-hour training through them to begin. And a lot of times the DFPS office will have information about us to let them know, hey, this is where you can further your trainings, because we have to have 30 hours of training every year. And now the state does, I believe it's 65%, and I'm not real clear on this because I don't like doing online training, but it's, I believe 65% you can take online training, and then 35% has to be actual training in some kind of, you know, personal class where you are there.
And would you mind defining DFPS for me?
Department of Family and Protective Services.
Okay. How many people do you have in your network, the Brazos Child Care Network?
At the moment we are at, I want to say it's 20 or 21 members right now.
Is there anything else you'd like to add about home-based daycare or area issues that may affect parents trying to find care for their children?
I live in North Bryan, and at certain times North Bryan is a really hard area to get daycare. It's because we're kind of out of the loop of people working in town compared to being towards Hearn. Same with South End of College Station. You have that same type of stipulation. Otherwise, the only thing I advise for people is to go on the website and look up their records. It's not that hard to do. And the only thing I always try to tell people, if they see a name and they see that they have a rating of a high, low, and medium risk level, and I always tell people, don't just click away from that name if you see there's a bunch of high risk or something. Look at what the high risk are for, because sometimes it is paperwork. It'll be, if you don't have their shot records, that's considered a high risk. And we ask the people also for daycare, and this is for anybody in daycare, business or homes, please keep up with your shot records. Make sure that your daycare provider gets a copy of them as soon as your child gets the shots, because that's where that will give us a high risk and make you look bad.
Okay.
Work with the daycare provider. Trust your daycare provider. Try to find a place you're going to be very comfortable with. Really study it before you just take your child somewhere.
Thank you so much, Shirley.
You're welcome.
That was Shirley Padgett, president of the Brazos Child Care Network. I'm Patrick Zeinert, News Talk 1620 WTAW.